Hello, welcome to GCSE Bite Size with me, Chris Smith, and with Ben Vowsler. We're from The Naked Scientists. In this podcast, we're going to take a look at what makes up the Earth and the ground beneath our feet and the air that we breathe.
The Earth is made up of three main layers, the crust, the mantle, and the core. The core is at the centre and has a radius about half that of the Earth. It's thought to be made of iron and nickel. Now, the outer core is liquid, but the inner core is solid.
What's outside the core?
Well, there's a layer called the mantle, which is a hot layer between the core and the crust. If you hit it, it would feel solid, but over millions of years it flows and distorts.
And the crust is the stuff on the surface?
Yeah, it's a solid, rocky layer that we stand on, although it's actually only a few kilometres thick. It floats on top of the mantle and is split up into large plates. Many of them form continents, and they drift slowly around the surface. We call them tectonic plates.
So the rock beneath our feet is not as solid as we may think, it's actually moving.
Yes, the different tectonic plates move a few centimetres every year. Now, that may not sound like much, but over millions of years, they can move thousands of kilometres. And when two plates collide, they create huge mountain ranges.
But that sounds pretty unlikely.
Well, yes, it does. The theory of continental drift was first put forward by Alfred Wegener in the early 20th century, but it was very hard to imagine anything that could move a continent. It wasn't until the 1960s that scientists had the evidence to back up continental drift and the theory of plate tectonics developed. This says that the continents are being driven by huge convection currents involving the crust and the mantle.
So why did Alfred Wegener think the continents were moving in the first place?
Well, if you look at the shape of South America and Africa, they would fit together. This may have been a coincidence, but he noticed similarities between the rocks and fossils on both sides of the Atlantic, and so concluded that they must have been joined up at some point in the past. Also, it explained why all the earthquakes seemed to be concentrated in long lines.
Why was that?
Well, an earthquake is caused when two plates are moving past each other, so you get a lot of them at the edge of tectonic plates. The plates tend to stick together for tens or hundreds of years, and then suddenly jump forward a bit. And it's this sudden movement of billions of tons of rock that creates huge vibrations in the ground. An earthquake, and these can be disastrous. Unfortunately, so far, it's been impossible to predict when an earthquake will happen, as nothing special happens prior to an earthquake, and you get no warning.
So what about volcanoes?
Well, they're concentrated around the edge of plates because some collisions between plates produce large amounts of hot, liquid rock called magma. Now, this rises up and forms a volcano. Eruptions are also very difficult to predict, but you can sometimes detect magma moving about inside a volcano, which gives you some warning. Volcanoes also produce huge amounts of gas, which go up into our atmosphere.
And talking of the atmosphere, what actually is in it?
Well, it's about 78% nitrogen gas, which is very stable and so unreactive. It's about 21% oxygen, which is vital for us to stay alive, and about 1% of everything else, which is mostly argon with a little carbon dioxide and some water.
Now, obviously, we need to breathe it, but why is the oxygen so important?
Well, our bodies use it in respiration to generate energy from food, and without it, we'd be dead in a few minutes. Luckily for us, it's constantly being made by plants in photosynthesis. Oxygen is also required for fires to burn. When we say that something such as wood, paper, or oil is flammable, what we mean is that its reaction with oxygen will release a lot of energy very fast, and it'll carry on until it either runs out of fuel or oxygen. Now, on the other hand, the noble gases, the group which includes argon, are very unreactive.
So if they don't react, is there anything we can do with those gases?
Well, yeah, the very fact that they don't react, even when they're very hot, makes them very useful for lots of things. For example, argon is used in light bulbs because it won't react with the white-hot metal filament.
And what other noble gases are there?
Well, as well as argon, there's helium, which will float in air, and so you use it for party balloons. There's also neon, which can be made to glow red in a sign, and krypton, which we use in lasers.
So these noble gases can all be grouped together because they sort of behave the same way?
That's right, yeah. The properties of the noble gases are all pretty similar. They're all gases and chemically extremely unreactive, so it's not surprising that we put them in the same group at the right-hand end of the periodic table.
So have we always had these sorts of gases in these sorts of combinations in the atmosphere?
Well, the Earth's early atmosphere is thought to have come out of volcanoes or crashed to Earth in the form of comets. 4 billion years ago, it's thought to have been mainly carbon dioxide, with lots and lots of water vapour and a few other gases, including methane, ammonia and nitrogen. Now, because there were no plants to produce it, there was virtually no oxygen.
So how have we ended up with so much of it today?
Well, as the world cooled down, it made the water vapour condense into oceans. Now, some of the carbon dioxide dissolved into the oceans, and even more of it got trapped in sedimentary rocks. Then, as photosynthesis evolved in primitive plants 3 billion years ago, more carbon dioxide was trapped and converted into oxygen. A lot of the carbon that was left over after removing the oxygen was then trapped in the form of fossil fuels.
So is this what we burn in our cars and power stations?
Yes, and burning it is converting the carbon and some of the oxygen back to carbon dioxide, which could alter our climate.